Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Call in right now. If you are the 10th caller, you are winning tickets to see the Capitals and the Penguins in the good seats next Friday night. Great giveaway when you walk in the door with the 50th anniversary sweater. Game is November 8th, Capital One Arena, Caps and the Penguins. For tickets and the complete schedule, go to thefandc.com/events. Although we've got a bunch of these schedules up here. If you're a Caps fan, I've been passing out to people in the bar today for the 24-25 season pocket schedules. So you can come grab those. In addition to whatever's left of our 106.7 The Fan merch up front here when you get into the bar. We are out and about again. It is a Friday field trip.
Craft House in Fairfax. This place rules. I see all the beverages. I've got a nice tea. I've got some water. There's more beers than I could count both in the fridge and on Daryl Tap. All the foodstuffs are delicious.org. This place is awesome.
The local football team's defense got off to a rough start. Sometimes people in your life are going to struggle a little bit. That's when you need our guys, Kondori and Murad. They're the exclusive sponsor of this show. The law firm Kondori and Murad will guide you through the process of managing a health care or power of attorney, even securing a guardianship, conservatorship for a family member. Schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. That's kmlawyers.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. You get a discount if you mention your guys. In fact, part of the crew from Kondori and Murad came out for our event today, so we appreciate them supporting us as always.
Always love it, man. Those guys are really, 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 A, they're great dudes, but B, they're also awesome at what they do. They make a tough thing easy.
Coming up at 4:30 today, I want to talk about Johnny Newton. I thought he was excellent last week. Second-round pick, 36th overall, Illinois product, who is now getting more opportunity at D-tackle with John Allen hurt. Had 7 pressures last week. Penetrated and really did a nice job one-on-one winning with strength and power and speed. He looks like he can play. Last week was his week. Who's going to be the guy that breaks out this coming Sunday? We'll talk about that coming up in a little under a half hour. But it is time for our Beltway Blitz. We'll cover the NFL and the Wizards on deck and in the hole. Let's start with the Commanders. And our buddy Earl Forsey, who's keeping us up to date every half hour on the Fan. Earl, any nerves about the matchup with the Giants? Anything worry you about the 2-6 G-men as they match up with Washington?
Not at all. No, not at all. I know everyone is panicking because, oh, this is the kind of game that's a trap game. No, this team is different, Grant. I've talked about it a bunch with you guys throughout these 8 weeks now in the season. They're beating the teams they should beat, and many times they're beating them badly. And, you know, they're pulling out games like we saw last week, the play to win in Cincinnati, the miracle finish in Maryland last week, the Rays Hail Mary, and I wish more people would pick up on that. That was my idea. NFL Network, by the way, did use that once. But this is different. This whole thing is different. I don't know if you heard Jim Nance, who called the game with Romo, obviously,
so
this weekend. He was on with the Junkies this week. And this is a segment I'm going to do about, obviously, Jaden Daniels. And it's not just him. You mentioned Johnny Newton. The top 6 rookies, all contributors and main contributors, starters, basically, on this team. That's different from the last 4 years, 3 decades. So it's not just him. It's coaching. It's everything. Nance, though, was asked, and this is a topic, and I know Logan Paulson, he was on the station, too. He's not ready to make that jump yet, declaring Jaden Daniels, yeah, he is the guy. He wants to see more, and I understand that. Jim Nance, he's called 2 games now with Jaden Daniels, a quarterback. He is convinced.
The position has been conquered. Mm-hmm. You know, Washington has this quarterback for a long, long time.
Plain and simple, period. They found their guy, is what Nance is saying. And
put in Sharp.
I think they have. And yeah, I mean, he's not – there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He said he's got the poise, he's got the character, he's got the skills that you see in fourth and fifth year guys with reading defense. It's all true. We've seen it for 8 weeks. It's the NFL. You're not going to win every game, you know, unless you're the Dolphins in 72. But I would not worry too much about this game. I would worry. It's a division game. The Giants are kind of a pain in the ass, thorn in the side team. They always have been. Ron Rivera is not coaching the team anymore. Taylor Heineke's not the quarterback. I think they'll be just fine Sunday up in New York.
I'm amazed I could hear Jim Nance in that clip without Tony Romo talking over him. That's incredible. Great job cleaning up that audio.
And amazing, Danny, they won the game without putting Mariota in for the last play like Romo won.
Yeah, seriously, good suggestion. Thanks, Tony. Yeah. This weekend, the only concern I have is that Giants pass rush, which is good. And it's not just good for them. Yeah. It's good for anybody. They're among the league leaders in sacks and pressures and all that stuff. And Washington's been incredibly fortunate when it comes to not turning over the football. Sometimes your luck changes. That, to me, is the formula for the Giants. What say
of
you to
course.
That?
Yeah, of course, and I think that's how the Giants, that's why it was tight that last time. All field goals. They couldn't score a touchdown against that defense. It is a very good defense, and they've got, they upgraded there. While they didn't at quarterback, they made the deal for Brian Burns. Now, he's banged up. I didn't see what his practice regimen was today. I think probably he'll play. Obviously, Kayvon Thibodeau's been banged up for a while, so they're shorthanded there. They benched Banks, their defensive back, one of their top picks from a year ago, last week. So there's some chaos in New York with the Giants already. Brian Daboll is going to face the guy that we saw him, swoon over in the offseason Hard Knocks. I would say you're right with that, with the defense. But look, Danny, I put this out on X yesterday. ESPN has some great stats on part of this Commanders, surge has not just been Jaden Daniels in offense. They've gotten an amazing what good coaches can do, huh? They've gotten better on defense. They started slow. We know that. But the last, 5 weeks or so, weeks 4 through 8, they've been terrific. A lot of these categories, points per game allowed, total QBR allowed, third down percentage allowed for opposing offenses, all top 5 numbers in the NFL. They have increased their points allowed from 29.3 points per game the first 3 weeks to 15.8 the last 5 weeks, 4 through 8. That is nearly a 2-touchdown difference. You want to know why they're winning games? They have the third-ranked offense in the NFL. The defense is playing like that. It's a pretty simple formula. And you mentioned turnovers. They have 3 turnovers this year. That is tied for first with Buffalo in the NFL. That's a good formula. That adds up to where they are right now, first in the NFC East.
That's our guy, Earl Forsey. Founding member of the Insane Touchdown Posse, I believe.
My time of year, Grant, I have to say, who said it best? John Facenda. Now we're through Halloween. It's November 1, so.
Hopes that were high in the heat of September can wilt and die in the chill of November.
So it's crunch time in the NFL. It's my time of year. Can't wait.
Let's go, baby. We will be listening on Sunday morning.
Not
thank
how you,
you
start,
Earl.
It's how you finish. Yep.
And you hear that glass, it's your butt.
It's your butt.
Earl Forsey's about to cut some promos. All right, let's talk NFL on the Beltway Blitz. Our buddy Zach Kruger of Roto World joins us now. Zach, where do we begin? How about just a thought on the Giants and the Commanders from you from the national perspective?
What's up, guys? Happy to be on with you again. Obviously, it's a huge game for the Commanders. We know what they've been doing the last few weeks coming in. I think this is definitely a game where it's not just that they have to win it, but come out and show that it's not going to just be another field goal fest where you win it, six or seven field goals by their kicker last time. It's a huge game for them. We know that it has a lot at stake between playoffs, between a divisional push as the Eagles and Commanders kind of begin to separate themselves out across the NFC East. So there's certainly a lot weighing on this game, and I'll be interested to see how it plays out. They're beating all the teams they should beat, and now it's a chance to only add to that. And the fact that they haven't played, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they've played the Cowboys or the Eagles yet. There's a lot weighing on this with a few weeks to go until those matchups kick up. So it'll be exciting to see what they can do.
Zachariah, I want to start with Dolphins-Bills. This just feels like a can't-get-right season for Miami, right? If it's not one thing, it's another thing, and then it's probably 7 things. The next thing you know, they're right at the bottom of that division where nobody but Buffalo's got a winning record. Looks like Tyreek Hill is limited here this week. Why can't Miami get going now that they've got Tua back?
Yeah, so I will say this. Tyreek Hill, limited but expected to play. He popped up on the injury report on Thursday. That appears to be a maintenance thing, so we'll see what happens. Encouraging thing for him is they did have 8 catches for 72 yards in last week's loss to the Cardinals. That was his most since week 1. That's kind of the Tua being back effect. But it's really just kind of puzzling to see the way that defenses seem to have somewhat figured out this Dolphins defense. And then on top of that, you know, they're not as well defensively as they were last season. They struggled, I think, particularly against the run. Losing Christian Wilkins probably has a little bit to do with that. We know he went to the Raiders this offseason. So the Dolphins, they've got a few things to figure out. They got to figure out new ways to innovate their offense, and they've also got to figure out ways to improve defensively to kind of get back on track. And in an AFC East that's not great, but certainly as Buffalo continues to separate themselves, that's going to get tough. The Bills are looking at Amari Cooper, by the way, as a game-time decision this game. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, it's truly do or die now for the Dolphins heading into this game, I think.
So how about Jags-Eagles? The team chasing the Commanders in the NFC East is Philly. Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert are both pretty banged up. What can you tell us about that game and what we need to know about Jacksonville?
Yeah, so Devontae Smith, a very interesting, did not practice on Friday. We don't even know why, as far as I can tell, unless it's changed before I hopped on here. But he said afterwards that he's going to be good to go for Week 9, so we expect to see him out there. Dallas Goedert is looking to miss his third straight game with a hamstring injury that he just can't quite get right. So the Eagles, like you said, a little banged up on offense, certainly. Coming off a big win against the Bengals last week, certainly encouraging for their trajectory as they kind of have gotten a little bit more squared away the last few weeks. The Jaguars are you want to talk about a team that's hurting? It's the Jaguars. Gabe Davis, shoulder, he's a game-time decision. Brian Thomas Jr., a chest injury, considered a game-time decision, but early reports in this week said he could miss as much as 4 to 6 weeks. That seems to be corrected. He's been limited in two practices. I think Brian Thomas Jr. will play, but we'll see how things go come Sunday. And then Travis Etienne has missed the last few games with a hamstring injury. He's another game-time decision, obviously a key part of their offense, averaging just over 13 opportunities per game when he's healthy. If he can't go, it'll be Tank Bigsby, but if he does go, then Tank Bigsby is going to be kind of relegated to his backup role where he was seeing just over 4 opportunities per game in those games with Etienne. So two teams that are really banged up. Eagles obviously still have a lot to play for. Jaguars kind of, you know, looking to save what little bit of a season they may have left.
My theory on the NFC West is someone actually has to win it. This is a pretty big game, believe it or not. Rams-Seahawks, what do you know?
I know that Puka Nacua is once again on the injury report. He injured his knee yesterday in practice. Head coach Sean McVay did say that there's no structural damage to the knee, but Nacua is questionable after coming off a 7-catch, 106-yard performance in his return. If he doesn't go, we're probably looking at rookie Jordan Whittington seeing a little bit more play behind Cooper Kupp in that game. And then DK Metcalf. Earlier today, it was announced that his situation for Week 9 was cloudy. It was recently announced that Mike McDonald said he will be out for Week 9. So that's another week that the Seahawks are going to be without DK Metcalf. Obviously, we saw that often struggle against the Bills. Turns out that when you're missing your hyper-athletic, 6'3" wide receiver who can jump and higher than everyone and run past everybody, can make a passing offense struggle. So we'll see what the Seahawks can do there. But I agree with you, Danny. Someone's got to win this division, and who it's going to be is really coming into question as everything kind of looks league average at best right now.
Zach, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Have a good one, guys. Take care.
You got it. Let's keep the blitz moving to the hardwood. That's right. The Wizards getting a little shine after consecutive wins over the Hawks, and because this weekend's a pretty big deal, Mexico City is where they are headed to take on the Miami Heat now. We will talk about the Wizards with a gentleman that covers them from Monumental Sports. Bijan Todd is with us. Bijan, how about 2 straight wins over Atlanta? I don't know what that says about the Hawks, but I feel good about that.
Yeah, man, it's a good time to be a D.C. sports fan. I think it says that the Wizards are growing into themselves a little bit with their rookie class, and things are looking up. Hopefully they get a win in Mexico City tomorrow as well.
Yeah, tell us about that. It may not be on everybody's radar just yet with us in the throes of the NFL season, but this is a pretty cool deal, huh? This is usually the NFL's territory to take it international. But this is neat that the Wizards are getting to do this.
Absolutely, man. And it's cool that they're going to field a team this young, too. They started the youngest lineup in franchise history in that second game against the Hawks that they won. And also, if there are 3 rookies in Sar, Carrington, and Keyshawn George, or top 4 in the NBA in minutes. So it's pretty cool that they're this young, they're growing into themselves. Jordan Poole is out there scoring, 25 a game. And it's cool that they're going to get the international acclaim going down to Mexico City as well against a pretty good opponent. The Heat are going to be an interesting team to play against. So it'll be cool. We'll see how it goes.
Report card on the kids. Bilal Coulibaly rave reviews. How about the 3 rookie first-rounders?
So far, so good, man. The only thing I would say that we need to see a little bit more of is Alex Sarr knocking down his deep shot. That's one thing that we haven't seen yet, but he has looked good about it. And one thing that was interesting, too, I was out of practice yesterday, and I saw Corey Kispert actually working with him on his three ball, specifically catching the ball up high and not bringing it down before shooting it, which is a really interesting development that he's getting that kind of veteran tutelage from a guy who's known for his three-point shooting. But other than that, so far, I would give all the rookies, I would say, somewhere between a B-plus and an A-minus. And I think that's good because, again, they don't have a lot of NBA experience. They're only four games in, but they're top four in the NBA in minutes. Carrington is leading all rookies in scoring. In fact, he's the only rookie putting up double figures thus far. And just so far, their versatility has been very encouraging as well. They're all guarding multiple positions. Alex Starr looks like the defensive stud that we've seen so far. He's been staying with some of the big boys, and it's been good, man. Hopefully they can keep this train going with the increase in playing time.
Just so wild to hear, you know, that longtime graybeard veteran, 25-year-old Corey Kispert. Words of wisdom. Bijan, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you guys have a good weekend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
Check out Bijan Todd at Monumental Sports Network. Does a good job covering the Wizards. Things are indeed looking up, as he said, in D.C. Sports. They pull up the rear, and yet they're even worth watching right now. Entertaining because they've made the youth movement. They've got the three first-round picks and a second-year developing star in Bilal Coulibaly. G&D with you on the Fan. That there was your Beltway Blitz. Next, last week, Johnny Newton broke out. Who is going to be the commander that steps up and has their best game of the season this week in the Meadowlands? We'll get into that on the Fan. We are live, out and about, Fairfax Corner. Kraft House Fairfax today will be here until 6:30 on Grant and Danny. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's a Friday field trip. Talking ball ahead of the Commanders and the Giants from the Meadowlands on Sunday. We're at Kraft House Fairfax, Fairfax Corner. We are getting to the point of the day where you're getting off work. You want to sit on 66 or you want to sit in here with wings and beer and your pals?
Outdoor deck. Oh, it's not even a deck. What is that, patio?
Yeah, the patio is gorgeous.
Deck is wrong. Deck's like an elevated thing with like the chair legs underneath it kind of. That's wrong. It's a patio. It's a huge, beautiful space, man. I love it here.
Perfect weather, really good food. We're excited about it. So my buddy Matt came out. And I guess he heard yesterday when I was talking about there was a person in my neighborhood that for Halloween would put candy corn in a little baggie and give it to us.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the worst nubby Halloween bit that you could probably do ever. So he brought one candy corn in a little Ziploc bag for me and handed it to me. But he handed it to me in like the front of the restaurant, everyone's looking. And like someone came up and was like, is that a piece of candy corn? It's just a Ziploc bag with one individual.
Because far away, it's like, is that like your kid's tooth? Like, what's in there?
Well, or just like some type of edible or something. I believe it's just a normal piece of candy corn.
Yeah, I paid $20 for that one.
But I'm not going to take it on a flight just in case.
Right.
I'll make sure I eat this at my house when like I'm not in charge of the kids.
Yeah, you don't
alone
have to drive.
When I've got a few hours.
That's
but I
hilarious.
Believe, just so everyone here at Fairfax is. Kraft House knows that this is just one piece of candy corn, actual real candy
it's
corn.
A single candy corn.
Individually wrapped. So nobody needs to be worried about
it's
that.
A very good bit.
Johnny Newton.
Johnny.
Seven pressures this past week. I don't think we talked enough about him. That would have been the story if Washington would have won without the Hail Mary, or maybe even honestly if they would have lost and we would have gone through the game, talked about all the things they did badly and then gotten to where were the signs of encouragement. Newton would have been the lead, and because of the Hail Mary and the heroics and the fact that it was the craziest finish ever that dominated the headlines, it just kind of went without really much fanfare. He would have had a second sack if Caleb Williams didn't get rid of the football with his knee about a centimeter away from the turf.
That's right.
He was awesome in that game.
He was really, really good. Really impactful. And to me, there's two schools of thought, right? There's the kind of the, over the last couple of decades, the way defenses go, is there's that Greg Williams school that I always subscribe to where you don't need a ton of talent. You just need people to play the defense, be super assignment sound, and you can be pretty decent. I've seen it happen, right? Then there's the every so often you get a disruptor, and you might lose on a given down, right? He might go up too far upfield and over-pursue or over-commit, and then they run that trap play or something to the counter that's right back to the hole that you just vacated. Maybe not be as assignment sound down in and down out. But you trade that for that explosive. You trade that for the negative. You trade that for the potential reward of him guessing right, Tecmo Bowl style, and totally blowing up a play. I don't know exactly what, you know, play in, play out his assignments are, but I feel like that guy can be disruptive. And you've seen it a little bit. You've got a little bit of a taste. I think there's more coming.
I do too. I think he's just scratching the surface. I mean, he has played a bunch. If you just look at the snap counts, he gets on the field, but he has not gotten a chance to let his hair down and really just make it his own. Like, hey, I'm going to set you up on this drive because next drive I'm also on the field and I'm going to be the guy at the position for the entire day. I don't think there's a drop-off from the way he played this past week to the best version, honestly, of like Daron Payne or John Allen. Now, I don't know if he's capable of giving you that every single week. Like, that might be his ceiling. I don't think it is because he's literally just getting started. And you know how much of a fan I was of his coming out when you watch him. There were two guys after the Commanders added them that I fell in love with the first time I watched them. Because my routine was after they drafted or signed a guy, I would go back and just watch everything I could. And the two guys, Frankie Louvu, who I raved about, and then Newton, was the other guy where you go, I didn't want him to draft a D-tackle. I didn't even really like the pick that much. Oh, my God, watching this guy is a blast.
Yeah, hard not to fall in love.
This is awesome. And so I'm very hopeful. I have very, very high hopes for, you know, what he could become. But I guess my point is, if he plays like that, he's not worse than John Allen or Daron Payne. That's the kind of game he played this past week. The question now is going to be consistency. That's it. But he hit the quarterback four times. You know how many times this year Daron Payne has hit the quarterback? Three
not
times.
Many. Yeah, I was going to say not that many.
Three times all year. Last week, Johnny Payne, I'm sure.
That guy would be great,
Johnny Newton hit the quarterback four times. More quarterback hits of Caleb Williams and his basically breakout first time you get to do your thing performance than Payne has had all year. I'm not saying he's better. I'm not saying Daron Payne has played badly. I'm just giving you a couple of numbers. That's all.
Who would be a better player? Daron Newton or Johnny Payne? Daron Newton or Johnny Payne?
Johnny Payne kind of sounds cool.
Doesn't Johnny Payne sound like a badass?
Daron's a great name, but like
Johnny
has had a very hard life.
Johnny Payne has had a very rough life. Yeah, that guy's a badass. That guy has 17 sacks already. No, it's a good point. And so my answer to this question actually is Daron Payne. We haven't seen that Daron Payne game yet. Right? Remember, I always point to it from last year. There was a Daron Payne series against the Denver Broncos. Daron Payne on first down, Daron Payne on second down, Daron Payne on third down, punt. 10 guys could have just sat there crisscross applesauce because Daron Payne had it. You haven't seen that yet. And I don't know that you're ever going to get the down-in, down-out dominance of his contract year because we got a large enough sample that says that's more of an outlier. I thought it was a breakout. I was wrong. But still, he's very capable. And what better week than against this makeshift offensive line that's struggling? We asked Darryl Slater, who covers the New York Giants. I said, how's this offensive line? Give me a state of the union right now. And he said, and I quote, bad. He elaborated from there. Here's your chance, man. They're going to be worried about Louvu blitzing. They're going to be worried about Newton after what you saw this past week. This could be a great time for Daron Payne just to dump truck somebody, throw him into the backfield, hit the quarterback a few times, and be disruptive. Maybe you're not doing it week in and week out, but what a week to do it, man. Get your numbers.
Yeah, they've had two interior linemen on the injury report throughout the week as well. Both, I think, will play, but no, they both have been missing time at practice for what it's worth. Because of Newton's breakout last week, I wanted to use that as a launching pad to a conversation on whose turn it will be this week. That's what happens with the really good teams.
Yep.
Now, that's what happens in the winning legitimate organizations. Everybody takes a turn. We've seen it when the Nats went and won their World Series. We've seen it with the Capitals, not only in their cup run, but all the years where they've been ultra competitive. So the question I want to pose on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, and we can open up the phones at 800-636-1067 on this now. That's 800-636-1067. If last week was Johnny Newton's week to announce his presence, so to speak, it doesn't have to be a young guy having a career day, but just someone who elevates their game, someone who has their best game of the season, who this week is going to have their big game?
So I picked Daron Payne. You've heard from me here on this one. I just think he's due for it. You know, I don't think I'm getting the guy that set career highs a handful of years ago in a contract year. All right? I was wrong about that. I predicted this was the next step. This was a breakout. I saw pass rushing moves that I hadn't seen. I thought it was a product of growth. He's kind of settled back into being the nice, solid, good player that he's always been. Nothing wrong with Daron Payne. But here's a chance where you should have a feeding frenzy game. There is no
you
better
You felt a little bad about what I said, didn't you? Was that a little bit of it?
What do you mean?
Well, just me calling out that Newton had more quarterback hits in one game than he's had all year. Is that a little bit of this?
Not even at all. I'm going, you'll never have a better chance than this. You know what I mean? Like, you all know it. Everybody played sports. You know when you're going up against the weak pitcher and you're 0 for your last 10, well, thank God, here's a dude that's throwing a flat 75 with no curveball. You know, like, now's my chance to get right. This is your chance. This is a bad offense, a bad offensive line, and you can go nuts in this kind of game. You can have a Brandon Arakpo-type season where he had a bunch of sacks against the Raiders, none against the Cowboys, Eagles, or Giants, and we still think of it as a decent year. Here's your chance. Here's your Raiders game, Brian Arakpo style.
I'm between two minds here. Help me out.
Go.
I want to go with one of the tailbacks. Brian Robinson, who has had big games this season, which is why I hesitate a little bit. And Austin Eckler, who I don't think has really had his big statistical game. His best game was that Cincy half, and then he got the concussion and got knocked out of the game. But if you remember, he had a 20-plus yard touchdown. I think they threw him two passes on the first three plays. Mm-hmm. He got the first two first downs of the game. So his rushing totals this season, he just had his second-best game with 52 yards. 30 of that was on a run right before the half.
Yep.
I think he had another 30-yard run against Cleveland, and that gave him 67. But he's mostly been around 30 to 40 yards because he gets like 6-7 carries. I could see this being a 10-for-65 day for Austin Eckler with a rushing touchdown. And he finally gets his moment in the sun. But I think I'm just going to stick with B-Rob. I think Brian Robinson runs for a buck 50. I think it's that kind of game.
Say that number one more time.
I think it goes for 145, 150. I'm going to say, man, 20 carries for like 151, let's say, with a rushing touchdown or two for Brian Robinson. This is the worst run defense in the league. I've been harping on this all day. I think Washington gets off the bus. Talked all week about running the football, trying to bully this Giants defense, and they just ground and pound them. And B-Rob leads the way in a win. I'm going to say over 150 yards for him in this game, and that it's his day. He's the star of the show. It's his big breakout game of the year.
I could see it. I mean, Eckler was one of my nominees on offense that I was thinking about. He's had that 97 total yard game against Cleveland just on a handful of touches. I mean, his per touch, he's been incredibly effective, obviously, over the course of this year, but there hasn't been the volume to allow one of those, like you're talking about, 150 total yards from scrimmage or whatever. So the opportunity is going to be there, I think, today. Or not today, Sunday, rather. I think they're going to run the ball really, 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 really well. And that means everyone's going to get a chance, if I had to guess. You spell Robinson, or you catch him off guard. Maybe what looks like a passing down, you spread him out, Eckler from the shotgun or something like that. But, you know, he's been really effective. And any time he's touched it, he's been really good. And I think this is a great chance.
Let's hit the phones. 800-636-1067. We want to hear from you guys. Last week, Johnny Newton had his game of the year. Who's going to have their goatee this weekend? Let's go to Brian in Greenbelt on the Fan. How are you, Brian? Thanks for the ring.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Good, buddy.
I am looking for the rookie tight end.
That's in it, yeah.
He caught both of his targets and a touchdown against Chicago. Against Carolina, but nothing last week. Hoping he just kind of blows up all of a sudden in an easy win, hopefully. But, you know, also I just wanted to tag on a quick one. Johnny Newton, I don't watch this. I have a daughter that used to watch it, but Jimmy Neutron, how about Johnny Neutron, baby?
Johnny
that
Neutron.
Sounds good to me.
Johnny Newton Neutron? That is the father of children.
Neutron, Johnny Neutron.
I like that better. Let's make him a cartoon character, and let's put him on thermoses and in lunchboxes and make him a hero. I like it. Put
Johnny Neutron was a boy genius, I believe, if I've got my
Johnny Neutron saved the day. For more, let's go to Landover, Maryland. Thank you, buddy. Sinnott's a good answer, actually.
Yeah.
Because someone texted me this week. They go, is Ben Sinnott? I guess they have him in Dynasty or something. Everything is through the lens of fantasy now. But it's a buddy of mine, national football guy. And he's like, is Ben Sinnott just not good? What's going on? And I was like, no. I was like, Ben Sinnott's legit. Go back and watch him in the preseason. He is a bowling ball of knives. You can't tackle him. They just haven't thrown him the ball. And he's like, well, why? I said, they have the best offense in the league. They don't need to throw him the ball. Ertz is their tight end that gets the ball. They got a bunch of receivers they use. They throw the ball to backs. If Ertz gets hurt, I think Sinnott goes 5-for-50 in that first game, or 4-for-60 and catches a 28-yard, you know, catch and run or whatever. He's shown he can do that. He's had two balls thrown to him all season. Two. They were both in the Carolina game. I think both for Mariota, actually, interestingly enough. and he caught both of them. One was a touchdown. It's just that he's not being asked to do anything.
So I keep beating this drum on him. I think it's coming. I think this is the second half of the season. He grows into the position.
But
maybe
I only
Ertz wears
see that
down.
If Ertz is not involved.
Yeah, I just well, – because I'm
– They don't seem to really run a lot of that
no, you're right.
12 stuff. Or I mean, they run a lot of, actually, two and three tight ends. But they don't seem to ever be throwing the ball to both.
Out of that look, yeah. And my assertion or my theory has been that Ertz will wear down or Ertz will get injured because he's older and this is what he's done over the last couple of seasons. But we keep going, and Ertz just had his best game. You know what I mean? So, like, my prediction is looking less and less likely. Now, again, so much can happen in a football season, but my thought always was he'll come on strong in the second half of the year, and now we're about the second half of the year, and the target share hasn't been there, to your point.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. You can call us at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. That's 800-636-1067. 1067 if you want to hop in. The question for you right now, who's the guy that's going to pull a Johnny Newton this week and have their best game of the season? We'll get to your thoughts in a moment. We're at Fairfax Circle. This is a Fairfax Corner, I should say.
Fairfax Corner, yeah.
This is a fun little vibe we got going today for our Friday field trip. Got a lot of people coming out, getting ready for Commanders Giants on Sunday, and the confidence continues to grow in this football team. We'll be here until 6:30. Come say hello. My apologies for my tardiness. I was checking out the fried pickles.
You're mingling with the people.
There are fried pickles out there, and I was just looking at them. They're the thickest fried pickles I've ever seen. What'd you just order?
Those are cheese curds, my friend. That's your cheese curd.
Cheese curd situation. Yeah.
I needed something. I couldn't do another full meal, but
I needed
something.
I take you for a cheese curd guy.
Why? Fried cheese? I mean, that's pretty much what we're talking about here.
Mozzarella sticks? Cheese curd. What's the difference?
The status of where the cheese is in the process, I think. So I'm not totally sure, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I know the cheese curd is, I think it's like earlier, before it's like full-on cheese.
Because these look like tater tots of cheese.
But they're cheese tots, basically.
I would say the shape is the only difference, but I don't know the answer. Yeah. Someone in Wisconsin would probably have something different to say,
mm-hmm.
I would think. The question at hand for you guys at 800-636-1067 is, who's going to have their game of the season? Who's going to pull a Johnny Newton this week and ball out? Let's get to Maddie and Stafford on Grant and Danny. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Hey, I'm okay. What's up, guys? And, of course, with all humility, I say, prayers for Pete. And let's talk about Noah Brown. Last couple weeks, he's been getting targeted a lot. And Jaden's getting an even more comfortable connection with him. And I think this week will be the week where he takes all those targets and converts on the majority of them and gets in the end zone again. And I really like Noah Brown. I have a long time, and I can't wait to see what he does.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you, dude.
We'll get to Noah Brown in a second. He mentioned Pete. We have not discussed this. I was going to do it as we signed off at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Be remiss if we didn't take the opportunity now. So for people that don't know, our good buddy Pete Medhurst, we just found this out when everybody else did yesterday, have not been able to speak to him. But the voice of Navy Athletics, longtime member of our staff at 106.7 The Fan, was diagnosed with brain cancer. And it's just awful. And it's just a terrible, terrible mm-hmm. gut punch. And it's, it's deflating. But he is a guy that is one of the hardest working people I've ever met. He attacks things with 100% of his being, and he's going to scratch and claw and fight. And I believe he had surgery, we heard, this morning. We're still waiting to hear how everything went, but he is in my thoughts, my prayers. I know, Danny, yours as well. And for all of us at the staff, we do want to say we're thinking about him.
Yeah, you said it very well. That is a worker. That is somebody that takes on every challenge, has done so with the energy of 1,000 people. I've never met someone that works harder or is more dedicated to their craft and just doing a good job in whatever it is, as a dad, as a as a broadcaster and everything else. He's taught me a ton, and thinking about it, man, he's tough as nails. So wishing him and his family the best.
So this was an update from Pete's wife, Brenda, today, saying thanks to everyone for continued thoughts and prayers. It's much appreciated. She said Pete was in recovery after his operation. She said they were able to remove the largest part of the brain tumor. Should be able to see him in about 2 hours. That was as of 2:30, so hopefully around now he's getting to see his wife. But she thanked everybody for their thoughts and prayers. That was through Charlie Slow's social media account. But we are thinking about him.
100%.
And praying for Pete, so make sure you're all doing the same as you put your head on your pillow tonight. There's no good transition, which is frankly why I didn't want to bring it up in the middle of a segment today and wanted to do it at the end of the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, on to more trivial and matters that are much more insignificant to me than how he does. Back to Noah Brown, Danny, wide receiver with the Commanders as a possible breakout candidate this weekend. The matchup with the Giants is one that, you know, last time in week two, he was just still getting into the fold. It was the second half got Jaden Daniels going, and it was Noah Brown who actually elevated the offense with those in-breakers, those daggers, and the
had one big third down catch, as I recall, in that game.
At the end of the game, put the game on ice.
Yeah, that's that one. Yeah, good pull there. This is a passing offense that's very interesting to me in a number of ways. You know, Terry McLaurin's going to get his looks, get his targets, and rightfully so. It's been a different second guy, so to speak, that's kind of had his moment or had his game. There was a Zacchaeus game. I would suppose last week is the Ertz game. Noah Brown has had certainly some nice moments at key times. There's been a couple huge throws and catches and runs to Luke McCaffrey. Austin Eckler has been featured there. So it's almost like you never know where that second set of targets is going to end up going to.
One other guy, if we're talking about members of the offense that I could see having a big game, you just mentioned Zacchaeus and like the others. It's a get-in-where-you-fit-in situation in the receiver core.
Mm-hmm.
Every week it's somebody. So like Diami Brown as an example, tunnel screens have been effective, had the 40-yard touchdown at home early in the season. That might have been the Cleveland game. But it takes one play, I feel like, for those guys to really shine or to show out. Like if Luke McCaffrey goes 4 for 60 this week and scores a touchdown, that's his game of the year.
Yep.
And I would be very, very unsurprised if, say, McCaffrey or Diami or Zacchaeus or anybody else in the receiving core had a big game. Because outside of McLaurin, it's just kind of a, let's see what happens, throw to the guy that's open.
And that's a scheme thing to me.
Exactly.
Right? Where it's a, we know you're taking away Terry McLaurin, or trying to. So what are we going to do to counter that? How are we going to do so? What are we going to do to scheme somebody open? And those, you know, that Diami Brown touchdown, I know that one you're talking about, that's a Jaden Daniels went to the sideline and said something and they called it. But to me, that's a, we found the flaw in your design, defense. Watch this. So that's why, as I say, everybody's had a different one. It's hard to predict who it's going to be.
G&D with you on the Fan until 6:30. We're at Fairfax Corner. We're at Craft House in Fairfax. Come on out and spend the afternoon with us. I know a lot of you are getting out of the office right now. You can hit a golf ball from 66 to where we're at. I mean, very, very good location right here in Fairfax as people are coming to and from D.C. this evening. Come on out, get a drink, have some wings, and spend a few minutes with us as we ramp up for Week 9 in the NFL. Speaking of which, we'll run through all the headlines in every NFL game this weekend when we return on Grant and Danny.